Experience, knowledgeable, and reliability. Words that describe the ag director for CAF Media. She has 26 years of ag broadcast experience, is a past president of the National Association of Farm Broadcasting, and is the queen of ag broadcasting in the High Plains of the Rocky Mountain region. Here she is.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this agricultural news update. I'm Lori Boyer for CAF Media. This report is brought to you by Freedom Ag. Life doesn't stop when the going gets tough, and neither should your coverage. Call Freedom Ag at 719-688-9300 for all your crop, livestock, commercial, home, and auto insurance needs. Freedom Ag, where they're committed to cultivating coverage you can count on. A longtime Colorado dairy leader is taking the helm of the Colorado Livestock Association. Second-generation dairy farmer Britt Dennis has been elected as president of the CLA, representing producers across the state's dairy, cattle, swine, and sheep sectors. Dennis and her husband Norm operate Empire Dairy near Wiggins alongside Norm's brother William. The operation reflects a multi-generational commitment to agriculture that began when Norm's father, Jack Dennis, immigrated from the Azores and eventually built a dairy operation of his own in Colorado. As president, Dennis says she will focus on membership growth and engagement, especially among the next generation of livestock producers. She says maintaining a broad and active membership strengthens the association's work on safety, environmental programs, and policy advocacy. Dennis will serve as the CLA president through the 2028 annual meeting. New World screwworm continues to dominate livestock headlines, with USDA now launching a public dashboard to track U.S. impacts. So far, confirmed cases remain isolated to Texas, but the broader concern is south of the border, where ongoing cases in Mexico have kept the U.S.-Mexico feeder cattle trade shut down. Those restrictions in place since July of 2025 are hitting broader state feedlots the hardest. While U.S. cattle on feed in May sat at 99% of the five-year average, Texas and California were at 93% and Arizona just 84%. New Mexico feedlots, though not included in the monthly reports, also rely heavily on Mexican feeder cattle. The National Grain and Feed Association is praising the House passage of the fiscal year 2027 Agriculture Appropriations Bill, saying the legislation includes several provisions aimed at strengthening the nation's grain handling and export system. Among the measures supported by NGFA is a directive for the USDA to develop a contingency plan to maintain official grain inspection and weighing services during future disruptions. The bill also encourages improved coordination between USDA's Federal Grain Inspection Service and the Food and Drug Administration to speed approvals for grain reconditioning plans at export facilities when grain lots require corrective action. USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service will also maintain key reports and surveys and provide advance notice before making significant changes to data collection programs. House's passage of the Agriculture Appropriations Bill marks an important step forward for America's grain and feed industry, according to NGFA President and CEO Mike Seifert. The bill now moves to the Senate. A new study from Purdue University suggests the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement has helped to keep food costs lower for American consumers while creating additional market opportunities for U.S. agriculture. Released by the Corn Refiners Association and the Agricultural Coalition for USMCA, the study estimates North American trade agreements save U.S. households about $700 annually on food purchases, equal to roughly 7% of total household food spending. Researchers found that every 1% reduction in food tariffs corresponds with an average 2.8% decline in consumer food prices over a 10-year period. The report also warns that without USMCA, food tariffs could increase by an average of 7.4%, potentially erasing those savings within a decade. Efforts to secure year-round nationwide sales of E15 ethanol fuel remain active in the U.S. Senate, offering renewed hope for corn growers seeking expanded demand for their crop. Senate Majority Leader John Thune of South Dakota said that lawmakers are working on new legislation to allow permanent year-round sales of E15, though the details of the proposal are still being negotiated. The legislation faces several hurdles. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman John Bozeman said E15 falls under the jurisdiction of the Senate Environment Committee and is not expected to be included in the upcoming farm bill proposals. Debate also continues over whether an E15 bill should include changes to the renewable fuel standard. While some groups favor a standalone E15 measure, others support provisions that would limit biofuel blending exemptions for small refineries. Two Texas farmers say Hanson Mueller kept taking their grain even as the Omaha company was insolvent, and they're asking a federal bankruptcy court to make sure they get paid. Court filings show the farmers delivered more than $230,000 worth of wheat and corn in late 2025, unaware the company was failing. They missed the usual 10-day window to reclaim grain from an insolvent buyer, but argue Hanson Mueller misrepresented its solvency, which would exempt them from that deadline. The case follows a May ruling that denied similar claims from 19 farmers, though the court left open a possibility of recovering proceeds through reclamation. The bankruptcy case continues. This report has been brought to you by Freedom Ag. At Freedom Ag, they're more than just insurance. They're your neighbors in the field and on the road. Call 719-688-9300 for crop, livestock, commercial, home, and auto for protection that grows with you. Freedom Ag, cultivating coverage you can count on. I'm Lori Boyer for CAF Media.
That's Lori Boyer right here on CAF Media, heard Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's Ag News with Lori Boyer.